Okay, our number's down a little bit, but anyway, we'll manage to get through this lesson tonight. And it's one that we have to be aware of. And it's called Time is Running Out. And the problem with most people is they just wait too long to get started. And that's a problem that we face in this world and more prevalent as time goes along. The next generation comes along, well, we got all the time in the world to get this stuff done, so we'll have our fun and then we'll get busy. But some people just wait too long to fix the problem. I mean, if there's a problem, you got to fix it right away. And we know if you start hearing a noise in the engine of the car, it's time to check it out, not wait a few months or a few years and then decide, well, I think I'm going to check it out. No, we know it's some. We got to fix the problem, and we also know the end is coming, and most people do not care. Now, for some of us, we see the time is coming. I mean, we know it's on the horizon. We know it's for some of us. We think it might be getting pretty close, and so we're mindful of that time, and we want to make the best use of that time. But for most people, I mean, they're healthy, they're fit, they're not even thinking about the fact that time is running out. And this is where most people are, especially the youth. Youth have this biggest problem is they think they're going to live forever. And they don't even consider the fact that, hey, everybody else before them has passed away. They're going to go too. And so we're going to look at that tonight. See, I recently was made aware of a book with the title, Don't Wait Until You Are Thirsty to Dig Your Well. Now, I've used this illustration before and in one of my sermons, and the book is about planning for the future and teaches us a good lesson while doing so. But people don't pay attention to books like that. I mean, so we all should be looking towards the future. And yes, there's a future in this life, but there's also a future in the next life. And we should be looking at both of those and how we're going to do it. And so the book kind of goes out and points out, don't wait to start taking vitamins and eating right until you need surgery. I mean, you should be doing that before, and a lot of us learn too late. A lot of us, we find out after we've basically been going 30, 40 years on a particular diet, find out, okay, now you've got diabetes, now you've got heart problems, now you've got this or that. And why did this happen to me? Well, because of your diet and things like that. And so the doctor's going to point that out to us. And so waiting until we need surgery to start taking vitamins, that's basically too late. And so it's just like, don't wait to buy insurance until you have an accident. I mean, basically, the insurance companies won't honor that. So don't wait for your children to grow up before you start teaching them the important things. Here's a problem with a lot of young parents is, well, they let Sesame Street teach them the value of life and how to be nice to others and how to change your gender and stuff like that. That's what Sesame Street teaches them now. And, I mean, the acceptability of different types of sin in our society. And so that's what they're being taught. So when we turn our children over the TV set, they're going to learn the things of this world. And parents should not do that. We're commanded in Proverbs to teach a child in the way they should go, and then when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Sadly, that's not a guarantee, because it does happen. You can train your children right, and you still have the opportunity to lose them, because they're going to get out. They're going to get out of school. They're going to go to college. They're going to be taught by all their professors that they really rave about that there is no God. I mean, religion is foolishness. And guess what? When they leave college, that's the way they're going to see life. And so we need to teach them before that happens. And for a lot of us, don't wait until retirement age to prepare for retirement. You know, they tell us when we're young, okay, start putting some money away. Put it in stocks. Put it in this. Take a little bit of what you have and put it aside, for someday you're going to need it. Some people, they just live for what they can get. They get their paycheck, go out and spend it, and then wait for the next paycheck to show up, go out and spend that, and then all of a sudden they're going to wake up one day, and it's going to be close to retirement time. I don't have anything saved up. And so that can happen. And then, of course, other things, external factors, which no fault of our own, the stock market crashes. And guess what? All your savings are gone all of a sudden. And so that can happen as well. And most of what we do in life requires a measure of preparation. I mean, let's face it. I mean, students need to study before the test. I mean, students that don't study before the test, they usually don't make the good grades. And sports teams practice before they get on the playing field. And we know that there's a necessity for doing that, getting it down, getting it right, working on the basics. And doctors learn through internships before they're allowed to practice medicine. And they've got to go through a lot. And of course, the discipline to prepare is usually too much to deal with for most people. And most people are not prepared for anything this life brings to them. And that's where a lot of people are now. I mean, they just can't handle it. I mean, in our world, everything offends somebody, and all of a sudden, oh, they hurt my feelings, and I don't want to deal with that. I want to get into a safe room. I mean, for a while, I mean, it got really ridiculous. They started bringing little petting farms, little tiny animals, so students can go in and hug the little ponies and feel so secure and things like that. I mean, it's crazy. And it's kind of dumb when you think about it, because they're not focused on the right things. If they were focused on the right things, they wouldn't be offended by everything. Someone looks at them and, I'm offended. I mean, that happens. And finally, don't wait until you get on your deathbed before you decide to turn to God. And that's the message we have been trying to teach for many years now. You can't put it off. Don't put it off. And there's reasons for that. The last one is a problem for millions of people. They want to have their fun. Oh, I'll get right with God one of these days, or so they say. But what's the likelihood? Likelihood it's never going to happen. See, they live like there is no God. And as they realize they are going to die, all of a sudden decide, oh, I need to get religious just in case. I mean, they go through life thinking there is no God, then all of a sudden death is looking them in the face, and, oh, what if there is a God? Oh, I want to get right with God. And then they say, they try and say stuff, but really, it's too late by then. For most, this is too late to start living for God. I mean, that's what they do. And while a few might be successful at turning to God late in life, and that has happened, I mean, when someone is taught the truth and they obey the gospel, but for most people, that is not the case. They don't do it that way. And most people will leave this world with the intention of getting right with God before it is too late. And then, of course, as we say, it's already too late. You know, it's a careless soul that we have that does this. Since we do not know when that time will come, most people are unprepared to meet their God. It's like the song we sing. They express this thought very well. Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you now the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. We need to prepare as soon as possible. We cannot put it off. And the chorus of the song goes, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. I mean, for most people, they sing this song, and they have no problem singing the song, but the words just kind of bounces off their tongues, and it really doesn't get in their brain and swirl around and stay there. That's it. There is a warning that your life is not going to last that long. You know, James says our life is but a vapor. And Job says, the man who is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. And so we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. And we don't know what can happen. We think, well, if I do the same thing over and over, follow the same routine, I'll be able to do this for years and years. I mean, you look on the news and you watch, see, an accident on the freeway. Someone just died. Were they planning on that? Most likely they weren't planning on it. I mean, an airplane falls out of the sky and kills a bunch of people. Were they planning on dying that day? No, they were looking forward to seeing their grandkids or seeing family or doing some sort of business. The idea of dying does not strike anybody when they get on the plane. And so they don't think, because if they thought, I'm going to die, a lot of them would back out, say, no, I'm not doing that. And so they don't think about these things. And this is a warning that we try and tell people all the time. The time is going to come when we have to give an account of ourselves. Death comes to everybody. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then that's what people are not prepared for, is that judgment. I mean, we can warn people of the danger facing them, but if they have no desire to live the way God wants, they're not going to listen. They're not going to do the things they should be doing. The person who disregards warnings is in peril. And the warnings concerning the soul need to be heeded more importantly than anything else. I mean, when we see warning signs, what do? Well, we pay attention. We know there's some sort of danger present. And that's why the warning is up there. I mean, warning, electrified fence. Oh, let me go check this out and see if it's really electrified. You know, how many people have done that? I'm sure, yeah, they have. And of course, dogs can't read, so sometimes they get up there and do their business right next to the fence and bang, get pow. It kind of gets out. And that's hilarious to see. But they do that. But a lot of people, they don't heed the warnings. I mean, it's like on the TVs in a chase scene. Bridge out! Warning, bridge out! Boom! The bad guys go through that, and all of a sudden, where'd the bridge go? The only people who really were successful at doing that were Dukes of Hazzard. They kind of jumped over to the creek. But anyway, see, we call people fools who do dumb stuff that is dangerous. And sadly, we laugh when they fall off and get injured or burned because of their foolishness or stupidity. I mean, the internet is full of this stuff. There's videos all over the place of people doing dumb stuff and getting hurt. And it's so dumb, we almost have to laugh at them because they're doing something really dumb. And so we see this, and we know that some of the things that happen to them are very painful, like these skateboarders, all of a sudden they lose their skateboard and they land certain parts of the body, and it's, painful, so we think. But it's foolishness to take your life into that sort of danger and do stuff like that, to light yourself on fire or something like that. And we call it stupidity. Some people call it foolishness, but it is really foolish to do such things. So, do not be like the fool who declares that there is no God. You know, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are almost identical in the words they say and how it's presented. And it starts off, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so these people that declare there is no God, God is calling them a fool. And now we have to be very careful that we don't use that terminology, calling someone a fool, because Jesus warned about that. But when someone refuses to hear the direction, instructions from God, we're allowed to call them a fool because they're not paying attention. They're not paying heed. There's a passage in Proverbs which talks about the fact that the person who refuses instruction is stupid. There's that word. We teach our kids, don't say that S word. Don't say that word stupid. You shouldn't do that. God's word uses it. Now, that word is only in the New American Standard and the New King James. It's not in the original King James. But the one who refuses instruction is foolish. And they are not very wise to be doing that. So do not be like the fool that shuns instruction from the Lord. And there's over a dozen proverbs that express that thought. And so don't be like the fool who refuses discipline. Yeah, discipline? Yeah, the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 talks about the fact discipline is not pleasant. It's not good to be disciplined. But you know what? There's an advantage to it. We learn from it. I mean, when we were growing up, we do something. Mama, daddy doesn't like it. They give us a whooping. And so we learn, okay, there's some things mama doesn't like. And we don't do those things anymore. Or at least we try not to do those things anymore, because if we do, we know what's coming. But anyway, I mean, refusing discipline that way. On the job sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it's good to be chewed out because you weren't doing your job, or you kind of got lax in your job. And I always appreciated a boss who would be willing to come up and say, you did something wrong and I don't like it. And so what did that do? That motivated me to do a better job. And one time we had bosses come through right and left, just like a revolving door. And one time one of them showed up and said, hey, the thing you need to know about me, if you'll come chew me out about once every 3 or 4 months, I'll give you the best job I can do. And so it was just like that. And so I don't think that boss ever got on my case. I don't think he did. Probably should have, but he didn't. But anyway, don't be like the one who refuses discipline. And we see in the workplace what happens when people refuse discipline. Basically, they're going to be gone in a very short time. And even a union steward can tell you that. If they refuse the discipline, they're going to be gone. So we know that. And so let's face it, folks, we all did enough dumb stuff in our lives that we sometimes realize how lucky we are to be alive today. Now, this fits a lot of us, right? It really does. And so, yeah, it's just amazing when you think back. Boy, why did I do that? I was so stupid to do something like that. Yeah, that happens. See, we're going to run out of time when we die. Time has no meaning for one who has already passed this life. The one in the grave, time means nothing to them. There is no such thing as time anymore. And we will run out of time when the Lord decides to come again. And we talked about that on Sunday mornings in our Bible class. I mean, when the Lord gets tired of things, he's going to end it all. And we have the warning from Scripture that it's going to happen that way. And when will that be? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. Even the Lord, Jesus Christ, doesn't know when that time is going to be. And so we do know, according to Scripture and according to the promise of God, the end is coming someday. Exactly which day, we don't know. And it's going to come like a thief in the night when we're least prepared for it. So that's why Peter said, get prepared for it. So that's what he says, 2 Peter 3:10, it's going to come like a thief in the night. And then Peter says that since the end will come suddenly, what sort of person ought you to be in your conduct? 2 Peter 3:11. I'm always drawn to this verse here because it tells us the importance getting right with God and staying right with God all the time. And so that's important. And so we need to remember that. So take consideration of your soul and prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God now. I mean, you may go a few more years, but if you're ready to meet your God now and continue to stay prepared to meet your God, then you're going to be fine. You're going to be good. But now is the time you can do something about it. Putting it off till tomorrow, well, we know what that means. If you plan on doing something tomorrow, you're never going to do it. So don't wait until it's too late. Tomorrow never gets here. And we're going to find out, and we're going to know that hell will be full of people who decided to wait too long. Oh yeah, they believed in God. I mean, we got to get right with God. But hell is full of people who decided to wait too long. They feel they can ignore God. They feel they can just, do whatever. Curse God out. You know, Job's wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? Job would not curse God. He would not accuse God of doing anything. And so, yeah, people are going to be in hell. They waited too long, most of them. Now, a lot of them, they're going to be there because they deserve it. Because they said, I don't care if there's a God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's more and more people that way. See, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. We talked about this last month. We had a lesson. Today is the most important day of your life. And so that's what we are mindful of. But the point is, don't wait too long. And yes, even those of us who are faithful, even those of us who have made the efforts to be faithful to God, we still need to take these warnings seriously and contemplate the fact that, yeah, if we try and be good people on Sunday and the rest of the week we act like the world, guess when the Lord's going to come? Yeah, someday that we don't expect. So that means we've got to be the kind of godly people that we display in church. We've got to be that all the time. That includes our language, that includes our behavior, that includes who we choose to spend our time with. Don't wait too long. So that's the lesson. It's a simple lesson, but one that needs to be emphasized over and over, because we don't know when that time is going to be. So think about these things. We always offer the invitation for those who need to respond, and everyone here knows exactly what you need to do if you feel the need to do so. We're here, certainly here to help you, and we'll pray for you if you so request. So think about this, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing.